DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Yeah, that's exactly how it ended the last time, and I don't know if that's the same way we should do it this week or if we should change it up just a little bit. We could. But there's that hole in my heart where we don't have that intro.
Jimmy De Palma.
Hashtag DaFail.
Hashtag almost there.
That's going to get you a different sort of grouping following that. You don't want that hashtag.
I don't want that.
That's a bad one.
How about that April 20th hashtag? Is that a big one too, 420?
No. Yeah. That's just hash.
There it is.
There it is.
There okay. It is. Well done. Well done.
Oh. That's it. I'm done. Good night, guys. Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause for Mr. Dan Carpenter as he makes his way out.
Yeah, and tomorrow at the school board meeting, it'll be tomorrow night. You know, Mr. Carpenter was on talking. Well, hey, but we were just talking about free things you can grow in Colorado, or you know, things that you can legally grow in Colorado now. Just saying. Yeah. Okay, hey, we are here. We've got our live feed going on Facebook. I see it. I see Michael out there on Facebook. Thank you for joining us. And there's YouTube, I bet you, out there too. I need to click over that. And oh, there we go. Mark and Reggie and David and Howie and Robin, thank you for being with us tonight.
Reggie's comment, no Shaney. Instantly, I'm leaving.
Yeah,
goodbye,
exactly.
Everybody. No Shaney.
No Shaney. No Shaney.
No love for the three that are here.
Yeah. 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 It's without Shaney. It's just we don't rate. And now Shaney is off working tonight. She is traveling once again. That's getting to that time of the year where she will be going and performing around. I mean, next week she'll be in Las Vegas traveling.
She's like a professional, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she actually
like a legit professional.
Yeah, she actually makes money and people like fly her to places. Wow. I've only had people fly me somewhere once, and that was only because he threw me off the end of the dock. It wasn't to perform. It wasn't very fun.
Well, it's been about sometimes when you're sitting on the dock of the bay.
Yes. Watching the clouds go by. Okay. So tonight we are going to talk about, we're going to get into and talk about the DJ being the center of attention. This is a chat, or I should say a discussion I've been following online with a couple of different chat boards, where DJs are basically talking about the whole idea with the scrims and then making their areas so pretty that they want to have the attention on them, or does a person basically kind of drift back into the background and really not have that and keep the focus on the dance floor? And performance styles can lead one to the other, so we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit tonight and talk about the pros and cons, our thoughts on that. Next week, of course, is Mobile Beat Las Vegas and the Photo Booth Expo. So things are going to be a little bit different with our shows from next week. We're going to be we're going to run a live show each night, and they're going to be based out of Las Vegas. So we're hoping that next Monday night, which would be, we'll be a little bit later because right now we're at 9 o'clock Central, which is 7 o'clock Vegas time, and we won't be able to get anywhere until 8 o'clock Vegas time. So we're going to see who will be able to make a late night Vegas live show next week, and I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work. All I know is that I spent today putting together a mobile studio that can rival what I have here sound wise and such.
because we want to make it so it's pretty. And we're in a hotel that has decent internet, which means that we're not in the crappy hotels in which host these conventions. We're in a real hotel that has internet. If you've ever been to some of these places, when you go in there and everybody gets done at the end of the day, like at 6 o'clock, and everyone runs to their room and they're checking their email, and you go from having a 20 meg up and down to 0.1 meg up, and it's like, oh great, how do you function with that? So
basically the Taj.
The Taj was horrible that way. In Vegas, the Westgate, which is where Photo Booth Expo is in that building, that is horrible. Once you finally get up to your room, because there's so many people that are trying to get up the same elevator, which is ironic because if you just walk down the hall about 50 feet, it's a different tower, but the towers are all connected with a central area. So you can go up in that tower and then you walk over back to your room. It's really quite easy to do. So, special guests in Vegas. There's going to be a lot of different folks we're going to be doing in Vegas. On Tuesday, we're actually going to be setting up a booth with Casey and the Marquee Show booth, but we're going to be setting up an interview area, and we're going to be interviewing people throughout the day on Tuesday, right from the show. Some of that will go live. Some of those are going to be recorded for later use. Most of the folks who are going to be in Vegas, like Thomas Heath, his show is going to be coming from Vegas. The Casey and Brian B., their show is going to be coming from Vegas. Jeremy and Dave Turnier, they're going to be coming from Vegas. I think Mitch and Vicky are going to. So anyway, we've got a lot of stuff that'll be coming out throughout the day. And then, of course, the videos of the different gear that's out there. We're going to be talking about that, too. Okay. Did I cover everything? That was a lot.
Sure, that was all that was on my list.
That was all.
Yeah. That's pretty much the show, right?
Well, no, so, first we're going
to... All right, have a good night.
No, we have
great jokes from Dan, and everybody see you at Marble Beat.
So did you guys watch the Oscars last night?
Nope.
Jared?
No. I was part of the 16% that didn't watch, that dropped. I haven't watched the Oscars. Oh, man, I can't even remember the last time I watched the Oscars. See, now, John, I do something kind of weird called running a business. And when everybody is doing their Oscar watching time, I am either in front of this computer writing emails or making repairs or something along those lines. But, man, I don't know the last time... I can't even think of the last time I've watched TV, like in the last 2 weeks. I don't even know why I'm here. I got to go watch The Office or something. I'll see you guys later.
It's not on anymore. Forget it.
What? It's not even on anymore?
No, I'm sorry. Netflix.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, you can't even go. Yeah. But no. I kind of knew that going in, that you guys, the chance of you guys watching it was very, very thin.
He thought that lowly of us.
No,
he
was like, because I didn't watch it.
I'm going to ask this question, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to be. They're going to say no to this.
Exactly.
See, a whole bunch of awards for movies that I never watched, probably never will watch, and because the kids don't have a chance to watch.
See,
I think Boss Baby was the only one that had some sort of a nomination, and we didn't see it.
See, so. and that was my ace in the hole, knowing that you both have children. As do I. We didn't have much of a chance to see any of the movies. But the question that I want to get to on this that led us to is, are awards shows, whether it's in the music industry or in any kind of the pop culture, are awards shows completely a waste of time nowadays? I mean, at one time, I remember as a child that some of these were kind of a big thing. And for some people, I mean, Bill Herman as one, he has a huge Oscar event. And he has friends coming over. They really don't come over for, Bill makes wings. I mean, that brings people. But our awards shows, is their day gone? And I want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. No, to go into a little more detail. Yeah, I think they've kind of had their day. It seems like people that actually tune in for, say, like the Grammy ones and stuff like that, there's not a lot of talk of who walked away with what awards. You hear more talk of, oh, look how so-and-so did that performance, or, did you hear about, some outlandish thing that happened. It's not that, you know, you might hear a blip on the news or some radio show host, you know, covering, oh, so-and-so walked away with 25 awards last night. But it just doesn't seem like there's as much interest in who wins or what happens other than the performance side. Because sometimes they seem to push a collaboration you didn't think of before, or, you know, they push, you know, somebody covering a song in a different way. And so there's been more of that, I guess, if for lack of better terms, that I've noticed than anything beyond that. And years ago, that didn't seem to be the case, but in the same respect, years ago, I was in radio. And so it was almost like I felt like I had to look for those who won type of things.
Sure. And I can't think of a time where anything from an awards, generally you think, oh, if whoever wins album of the year in the music industry, something like that would be a bump. 15, 20 years ago when we were working in the bar, they came out with the CD of the awards, the songs that were won at the awards, and we used those. People mm-hmm. would ask for those. I can't think of the last time that there was a music, you know, whether it's music video awards or any of the anything that people have said, oh my gosh, I want to hear more of da da da.
I started checking out of all of the awards shows when the reason that they were created, which was entertainment, faded away and it became more political. When that transition happened, I was like, nope, I'm done. The whole reason why I watch movies, why I watch television is to lose my senses, to immerse myself into a fictional show or a movie or superheroes or whatever it might be, and not have to think about what's going on outside my door. That is my definition, my internal definition of what entertainment really should be and what it should be about, is to just enjoy yourself, not really have to think about anything. You know, there's no secret meaning behind everything. And for the last several years, I'm not going to mention anything specific, but I think we all, if you're watching this, you know that it's changed. You know that it's not like what it used to be in the 60s or in the 50s when they would do awards and they might rib on each other and they might make little jabs on each other and roast each other a little bit, but nothing to the degree that it's been over the last, oh, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, mm-hmm. where it's like every person that gets up there on a microphone, that's their opportunity and that's their chance to really say whatever they want about however they want and whoever they want. And that's not why you're getting a $250,000 gift back. That's not why you're winning a golden statue or whatever. You're winning that because congratulations, you can cry on command and you're a funny actor or whatever the reason is that you're winning. You scored a great movie. But for you to take that time to make it a political or religious or anything that's not entertainment based, you turn it and you make it about that, I lose all interest in. I mean, in all seriousness, that's just why I don't watch any of that stuff anymore. It's mm-hmm. just, it's dumb to me.
Well, the two things that I want to kind of come back on with what you said, I think it was funny a couple years ago, and I don't remember which awards show it was, but it was one of them that it was an acting type of thing. So maybe it was Oscars, where the idea was they had every person who was nominated write their thank yous and gave them to the producing people. And then those scrolled at the bottom while they got X amount of time to get on their soapbox and mention anything politically that they wanted to do.
Goodness.
And so I thought it was interesting that that show actually tried to say, you know what, this is the way it's going. So let's get the thank yous out of the way and allow them the full time to do that. I haven't heard if the shows have continued doing that or that show, whatever, continued to do it because I heard about it the first year. And I forget where the other one was going with that one. Oh, I feel like also what has kind of changed as far as the importance we put with that. Now we when we're going to decide what movie we're going to watch, or we're going to decide what song we may want to check out or something like that, a lot of us, I would assume, turn to social media or turn to our friends, and we see or hear their seal of approval more so or in a greater number than what we saw 10 years ago when Facebook was just, you know, becoming its thing, or, you know, 15 years ago before we really saw it. And so what would end up happening is the only really buzz we would hear from our friends might be if it was like really good, or if they, you know, a couple of them may have talked about it, would be in the right circle at the right time when they talked. Now with Facebook and all that, people are, you know, I'm sitting in the theater watching such and such. Oh, by the way, what'd you think of it? You know, where before we may never thought to ask that until we just happened to see something. So I think it's not as important for us to hear about the awards because we're getting our friend's seal of approval, not some conglomerate that happens to show us and give us the award. But I do want to make one disclaimer. That does not hold true for the awards from Howie. The show, the awards from Howie, we're not talking about those.
Yeah.
We're talking about the other
ones. Yeah, we're not talking about real awards. We're talking about Hollywood awards. So
right.
Just getting that out there. Jared, hopefully someday.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Someday.
I don't think I'm ever going to. I'm going to get like the cheap version of it. You guys are going to officially have Howie's, and I'm going to get some weird knock. I'm going to get a De Palma. I'm going to get like the tear down version, which is just like a 9x4 printout of a picture of Jimmy holding something that because he won an Emmy or something like that for graphics. So it's literally going to be him sitting in a chair holding his Emmy, and he's going to print it out and he's going to sign it. He's probably not even going to sign it. He's going to pay some kid to sign his name on there. So,
and that's,
man, if I get a De Palma is like the equivalent of a Razzie. That's what I'm going to get. I have a feeling that's what I'm going to get.
Rotten Tomato. a De Palma. That will be the other.
I'm telling you, I think DJ NTV needs to have like different tiers. Like, you know, there's Emmys, guessing, and there's Oscars, and there's Tonys. You got to have all these different tiers as well.
So for the Monday night, the Tuesday night, the Wednesday night.
Well, for like the show that's like the happiest or whatever, they would get the McKee. They'd get the Sean McKee. You know.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, we could name him after.
Yeah, you name him after different people. You know. whichever show is most apologetic, they get the Turnier, the Dave Turnier. So we just go through and make it as accurate as possible.
Yeah, precisely. You know, that Canadian is coming.
He's
out.
Not watching, is he?
No, Canadian, no. He's probably off solving world problems somewhere.
They're playing in the S or in the igloo with their dog.
It's an igloo. Yeah.
I'm putting up the wall so the polar bear can't come in tonight. Okay, so let's jump into the topic for tonight. The idea of DJs being a center of attention, and one area in which that really brings this up quite a bit is when they're talking about, we'll get back into that, you know, DJs are, you know, playing music and mixing, and that's one thing. And then some DJs view that are into that mix world are viewing when DJs are on the microphone, that basically if they're on a microphone too much, it becomes them trying to steal the spotlight, them becoming kind of the center of attention. Mm. And that really came through in one of the discussions that I was following last week, where people were talking about taking, you know, like the different MC courses that are out there. You know, Bill Herman does some things, and Mark Farrell's doing different things. And they're like, yeah, you don't want to take that kind of stuff because that's going to basically make you the attention hog. There we go. Excuse me. Attention hog of the room. And it'll be all about you and not about the couple and the client. So, Jared, I figure that I wanted to kind of start with you on this, is that you've been around some of the people who've taken the training, you've taken some of these training things and have experienced that a little bit. What are your thoughts when people are saying that, you know, by increasing your emceeing, you're really just taking the focus away from the family, friends, what have you, and bringing it on to you?
Wow. Well, that's a solid question that I completely and totally disagree with. Every time that I talk to a couple, or anytime that you talk to somebody, let's take weddings out of it completely. Let's mm-hmm. just talk about, you know, a DJ in a bar or a DJ in a club or whatever it might be. You have responsibilities. You have an objective that you have to meet. So you have a starting point and you have an ending point. And And for anybody to really say that, for you not to improve on any level of skill is really just hurting themselves in the fact. You're, whether it be speaking, whether it be microphone work, you could argue the same point for mixing. You could argue the point that, well, if you mix too much, you're taking it away from the people dancing and putting it on yourself and saying, well, look at all this cool stuff that I'm doing with my mixer. Look at what I can do with this, with my console. Look what I can do with my MIDI board. Look what I can do with all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. You could argue that point for anything that you do, whether it's the music, whether it's lighting, whether it's, facades or scrims on your stands or anything of that nature. It's all the same elements. It's all the same elements. They're just different aspects. It's like a toolbox and you have different tools in there. You can't work a wedding as example with no skill whatsoever on the microphone. You could be a phenomenal DJ and a phenomenal artist on the ones and twos, but if you can't speak to the group, then you either have to find somebody that can, or you need to take training and be able to communicate and be able to talk to a group of 5 or 50 or 500 or 5,000 different people and be able to tell them what exactly is going on. Because whether you like it or not, you in the position that you are in are seeking attention, even if it's in the most minimal amount, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing right now. That's like going to a doctor and saying, why do you want to get better? You want all the glory for saving that person's life. Well, no, the first objective is I want to save that person's life. But yes, I put myself through all that training and I made myself a better, whatever it is, a better surgeon. So the accolades that I'm going to receive, I rightfully so deserve. But for me for anybody to get into a profession and then not have some even subliminal level of, I'm really good at this and I really enjoy this and I would like for people to realize that I'm really good at this as well, you're just really lying to yourself. You're absolutely lying to yourself. So in my opinion, you have two choices. You can lie to yourself the entire time and say that, no, I am holier than thou and it is never about me and it's always going to be about somebody else. Or you can wrap your mind around the fact that, hey, you know what? It's about them, but I'm going to help them get to that point. And I acknowledge and I realize that part of that is due to my talent and due to my skill and due to, you know, the training that I've gone through and the things that I've spent money on to improve in what I do. And I think when you are able to figure that out, then you're able to be a better salesman. You're able to be a better business owner. You're able to actually do your job better, because then it opens up this weird part of your brain where you start to realize the difference between being egotistical and being purely or more focused on them. Because if you don't realize that, then you don't know where that line is.
Yes.
And then when you can realize the line and when you can see the line, then you can start pulling yourself back and you can start saying, okay, hang on, this is going too far. I know where that line is. Now I can start reining myself back and keep myself in this little specific area where I need to stay in. But in the entertainment field whatsoever, we were just talking about the Oscars. Every single person that sits in that audience, whether they are an actor or an actress or a producer or a director or one of the many, many minions who just sit in the seats because they have nothing else to do and they're just, you know, reserving a spot while somebody's up, they all have egos. And they're in an industry, they're an entertainment industry, where part of what you do is keep focus on yourself to some degree. So finding, I think the balance, I think that really long, lengthy answer, the shortened version is you have to find the balance between the two.
A balance. As you were talking there, Jared, I was envisioning some of the DJs that I've witnessed in the past. I've been to weddings where there have been some very accomplished MCs, and I've been to more that have had just incredibly poor MCs who have been there. As I compared the two, the ones who have had the training, and you mentioned that line of crossing the line, and there wasn't a situation that was obvious by any means, but because of their training and their communication skills were at such a higher level than someone who just basically comes in and wings it and has no idea and what have you, that there was almost more attention drawn to the poor MC because they were stumbling through things, mispronouncing names, having to be clever and funny because they couldn't do what they were supposed to do, compared to someone who has the presence to go and do what they need to do, say what they need to say, keep it short and concise, which I think is a huge thing. I really think that, as you said, the people who kind of shun that education and training are really just doing themselves a huge disservice.
No, I absolutely agree. I think that's a great way to look at it. I get frustrated, maybe is a good word. I get frustrated at the people that their excuse for not wanting to be better at what they do is I get the money issue. I get the time issue. I've got two small kids. We all have money issues. We all want to make more money. But when you start to say that somebody else's opinion is reflecting why you are making your decision, that in my mind completely nullifies any sense of respect that I have for you. Now, if Dan and I were talking and we were talking about upcoming training or whatnot, and Dan was like, hey, I really want to go to this training, but I just schedules don't match up. You know, I want to spend time with my kids. I've got stuff going on financially. I just can't make it right now, but I want to. And he has that drive and he has that desire. Is a very different conversation than, well, I talked to some other guys and they said that it really wasn't worth it, or I read some stuff online and I think I can do a pretty good job of it, or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. Because now you're taking yourself out of the equation. Now you're just purely relying on somebody else to tell you what you need to think, which means you're a tool. I mean, just plain and simple. If that's how you're going to run your business and run your life, then you shouldn't be running a business, and you should reevaluate how you're running your life, because you're letting everybody else make your decisions for you. But you know, if it's two different worlds, it's two totally different situations. So to the folks that are on Facebook or wherever that are saying that, you know, that training and becoming better as an MC or being better at mic work is making it all about myself. I completely agree with you, John, that it's not about myself. It's about improving what I do so the client has a better experience and they have a better talent to be able to take care of them and their guests. And I never thought about it like you said, where it's like the people that don't have the training, you know, they're significantly lower maybe on the talent pool. I never thought about it like that. Good point. Points for you, John.
Woohoo! See, that's why I've got the... Oh, my award's not here. It's in the house.
So, this is just like hitting home in a couple different ways, because I can remember, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, using the line that with my clients that I'm not the one looking to steal the attention. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one trying to get my 15 minutes of fame. Now I still use the idea. I still talk with my clients, you know, the attention is going to be on you. It's about you. You're the guest of honor and that kind of thing. But I didn't necessarily badmouth some of my competition in the area, but I try to set myself apart from them by saying, this is what they do. That is not what I do. And painted it, their interactive level as a negative thing. Which is funny that last week I had the conversation with you guys, kind of very similar, or maybe it was online now, of how to get into the idea of being more interactive, not from the standpoint of the typical times, I guess we'll say, where I'm on a microphone and I have everybody's attention on me, but more of the party-esque emceeing elements, that now I'm to the point where I look for those ways to improve. And yet there was what the 10 years ago I was saying, you don't want that, you know, you shouldn't have that. So I think sometimes I don't want to say that because I can't speak for the people that was in those posts that you're reading about, John, but I feel like sometimes the mentality is not necessarily that the classes that the people are taking is an idea to make themselves put the focus on them per se, but just the end result of what those classes might mean. The end result of the classes of, you know, I'm doing this because now I'm going to be on the microphone even more. I'm going to be out in the middle of the dance floor. And as a result, that means the attention is going to be on me because I'm telling everybody to do what to do. And so now it is about me. And again, to someone who hasn't reached that epiphany level of, you know, you can heighten the party without stealing the party.
It's a good way to describe it.
It becomes a moment. And I remember Randy talking in one of his videos about this idea of, you know, two people can do the exact same type of idea of going out on the dance floor and hyping the crowd. And one can do it where it's a flavor and the guests will think it's the greatest thing ever. And the other can do it and they were stealing the show. And so some people's experience as to why they might think that this is a stealing the show is because what they've seen has been like what you referred to, John, which was those poor MCs, the ones that weren't really doing it the way they should to make the correct type of impact on the party.
The other thing I'd like to challenge is, to a certain degree, whether you're just a DJ or you're a DJ and master of ceremonies or a host or whatever verbiage you want to use, everything, for the most part, that you bring out to a wedding, everything that you bring out to an event of any kind, relies on something else. And everything that you need in order to communicate to that crowd is right here, which is your voice. And anybody that says that training, especially for communication and speaking, is not needed or required, I would challenge and say, what would happen if you're in the middle of a set and the power goes completely out? Like completely out. You have nothing whatsoever. Laptops down, you know, controllers down, speakers are down, all of that stuff is down. And literally the only thing you have is your voice. And that's the only thing that's going to be able to cut through whatever is happening out there. Now, if you've got a crowd of 5,000 people or whatnot, you're going to have some difficulties. You're going to have some issues. Yeah. But for the sake of this conversation, let's say it's about 150 people, a standard wedding size, 150, maybe 200 people. I am very confident that because of the training that I've gone through, the continual training that I go through, that if something were to happen and I had to get a hold of them and I had to communicate to them accurately and directly, I don't need the microphone. Mm-hmm. I don't need the speakers. I don't need the music. I don't need the lights. I don't need any of that stuff to happen in order for me to still get through to the people that I need to get through. Prime example, St. Patrick's Day, 2013, St. Patrick's Day. So doing a wedding. The open dancing just got started, and all of a sudden, the aunt of the bride comes running in covered in blood. Like, just her whole half of her body was covered in blood. There was a mass shooting just outside the venue. And she was in her car smoking a cigarette, and one of the victims jumped in her car and bled out. And she runs in. Now, this is the day of a reception, and the dancing just got started. Was any song that I was going to play going to soothe things over? Was that cool strobe effect or those wash lights going to fix anything? No, not at all. The only tool that I had in order to communicate to every single one of those guests what was going on was in here and in here. And being able to tell them what was going on confidently, but also assertively, and to make sure that they knew that everything was taken care of and they were being taken care of by the police outside, was one of the only things, and I know this is going to sound egotistical, but really was one of the only things that kept that situation as calm as possible.
Sure.
When you get 150, 200 people, I think it was like 170 or 175 people, but they were pretty well lit. They were pretty well on their drinking spree. We just got started with the dancing. It was not an easy process. And that's what I always go back to whenever I think about, do I really need that training? Do I really need that extra little oomph to make sure that I'm at the top of my game? Because the people that are hiring you, whether you sell it to them or not, as you are the best in their minds, you are the best. You are the best that they could have, and they've accepted you to come in. And part of those responsibilities is making sure that you take care of every single person that's in there.
Hmm. I did not know you had that experience.
I don't talk about it a whole lot, obviously. But I mean, this is something that I think warrants bringing that up when they come in and when the police come in and you have to talk to them, you know, privately, and you have to make decisions. You have to make those quick split decisions of, do we just tell everybody what happened and then just cut the reception short? Do we, you know, ask people to move over here? Do we do what exactly do we do? And, you know, that's part of the reason why I talk about improvisational training. It's not because of the comedy aspect of it. It's about I want to train my brain to think as quickly as possible. So when stuff does happen, I don't have to sit there and think about it for 5 minutes and think about the ups and the downs and the what might happen or what could happen. It's I have to make a decision. These people are relying on me to make a decision, and I'm going to stick with that decision, and we're going to go with it. And if my brain, just like any muscle in your body, if my brain hasn't been trained and worked out to be able to do that, then I'm failing them. I'm failing myself. I'm failing the industry that I'm in because I'm not providing the service that I should be providing, which is leadership.
Sure.
My job is to lead everything that happens. It's not to bring the attention to me. You talk to any good leader, and it's not necessarily about the focus being on them, but it's about leading the group as a whole.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do? Because I mean, I think of that situation and I got none. I mean, I couldn't even imagine that scenario and how you go about it. Case in point, I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but this past Sunday in church, our youth ambassador was up on the stage, and we had a gentleman in the second row who had either a seizure or a stroke or a heart attack. Like it was just something just happened and it split. It was like right in the middle of the sermon. And the youth pastor, who hasn't really had a whole lot of preaching experience, took a couple steps back to figure out, like you could see, he was like they handled it. Okay. He's been escorted out. What do I do? And so I just like, I think of those types of moments and I go, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever know. That's the thing, is like, there is no textbook answer for the right decision to make. And that's part of the reason why I continually train my brain, either through Toastmasters or through improv or whatever it might be, is thinking through situations and resolutions as quickly as possible. But for all intents and purposes, I think we can all, for the most part, agree that the position that you're in is in a leadership position.
Oh yeah.
And every single person, when something goes wrong, I mean, take my situation out of the example, just think about it as a regular wedding and something goes wrong. Who's the first person they normally look at?
Yep.
It's us. It's always us. And when they all look at you, it's like, well, you have two options. You can either, you know, take control of the situation and lead and guide through the waters, or kind of duck in the corner and shy away and try not to make eye contact with anybody. But that's not the way that you want to go about things. So if you're going to spend the money on lighting and controllers and speakers and everything else, those are all tools, and your voice and your mind are just as important and just as much of a tool as anything else.
That leadership side of it is something, of course, that I think is a huge aspect that a lot of people overlook, because leadership generally means responsibility, and a responsibility is something that a lot of people don't want to have. Because if there's responsibility, that means that there's, even though they will blame it on us, but that if I have to take responsibility for it, then I could be the one that's blamed for the failure or success, but more often not the failure of said action.
Yeah.
And I think
Have you ever taken responsibility for something that you knew was totally not your fault?
Maybe not daily, but weekly. This is part of this. Here's a little leadership lesson. When you're the top one, everything, all failures are my fault. All successes are everyone else's fault, their situation. So if we have a good issue of the disc jockey news and such, that's because the writers did their job and they did a wonderful job. If there was something wrong, it's late, it's my fault. Doesn't matter if it was or not. It's my fault as the top. That's leadership, or that's the progression as a person who in the lead. That's what you have to do. So
Saturday I had a wedding, and they did a weird. The bride wanted her hair done between the ceremony, during cocktail hour, before dinner, and it went way over, like an hour over. And the meals were all cold when they got served. It was a struggle, and all I did was walk around and apologize. I had no control over the food. I had no control over her coming in here, but I was the one with the microphone. I was the one leading everybody through all the different steps that had to happen. And you got it right on the head there, John, of what did you say? The successes are for everybody else, and the failures are upon my shoulders, or something like that, where, you gotta take it. But I honestly think that you get an immense amount of respect. You get a better, more passionate respect from the people when they know that you're taking that responsibility, and you're being transparent with them and saying, hey, you know, this was my mistake. Or internally you're saying, this wasn't my mistake, but I'm going to tell them, hey, I really, really apologize. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do our best to make sure that you're going to have yourself a good night and a good time. That should be leadership 101. That should be business training 101. If you want to own a business and run a business, you got to be ready to take the crap from everybody.
And really, really, that is such a truthful statement, because it's going to come from all clients or prospects, suspects, coworkers different vendors or what have you that you're going to be working with. You're going to have crap coming from all directions. Mm-hmm. It's that thin skin. If you don't have a thick skin, then you go and you do the simple and easy. Well, I don't like people to say no to me, so I'm not going to price myself in the place I need to be. I'm going to go simple and easy. Well, some people might say that they don't like purple lights, so you don't go and invest whatever. You know, you're always going to go for the simple and easy, and that's not where success lies.
Yeah. If you want simple and easy and you don't want success, then just stay with MegaSeg.
That is how you work that one.
Right. Sorry.
Usually it's John whittling that in.
Yeah.
I try to edge it in there wherever I can. I felt like it was getting too deep. I had to liven it up. I had to transition out of that somehow.
Well, no, but that's a good discussion. And the other direction I really wanted to touch base on when it came to things like this, for those who are out there who are, you know, there've been many of you, that when Jared was talking about the different, his passion and his idea that the training makes you better. And when you're better, the whole thought, many of you were like, yeah, that I agree completely. But we all see these people online who are going to be bashing the training and the investing in ourselves and our businesses. And a lot of that, I really think, just stems back to a jealousy. And they're jealous because of someone like Jared, who is growing in their business, growing in their skill level, and becoming better at what they're passionate about doing. And it might be jealousy because they can't afford to do what Jared's doing. It might be that they don't have the time to do, they don't have the ambition to do what Jared's doing. That motivation and ambition and the stick-to-itiveness are things that elude 80% of our population. I'm wondering if Jimmy's going to add another statement to that.
Oh, there's been a lot. Jimmy's in rare form tonight. He's trying to give it back.
Not
successfully, but he's trying to give it back.
I unfortunately have not been reading too much of the chat.
I haven't either, until I just saw that Jimmy's saying it was nice having Jared on the show. And again, depending upon how you punctuate this, it's nice having Jared on the show for a while. So that means that it could be read as, you know, it's like really nice that Jared's been here for a while now and he's, you know, being able to share his knowledge. Or it could be written as, it's nice having Jared on a show, pause, for a while. Meaning that Jimmy is thinking it's time for Jared to And I don't know what if that means that he starts whiting out your image on our thumb. is that what
it would probably be an improvement because I'm right next to Shaney on all of the advertisement. And I feel like I knock it down like a solid 3.5 points whenever, because you're like, you see it and there's like, oh, there's Shaney. Oh, there's really, Jared.
All Jimmy would need to do is he could just have Shaney there and the other three of us could be like on the bottom, you know, waving a little bit because no one really looks at us anyway because she looks, you know, she looks dynamite and we just are there.
It's true. It's true. It's like in Three Stooges when there's always that one like lady and then the other three doofuses. That's pretty much what it is.
That's what the show what it becomes sometimes. Well, anyway, I wanted to just chat about that a little bit. For those of you who are struggling when you see these types of comments made in these different chat rooms and such, and you're like, well, is this something I should do? Because I've heard many of you ask, you know, is this training from Randy Bartlett, Mark Farrell, Bill Herman, whoever, is this something that's worth my time? And will it make me something that I don't want to be? First off, I don't think it's going to make anyone something they don't want to be. But I think there's so much value in Toastmasters. People have been mentioning that in the chat room. There's so many things you can do, even outside of the DJ industry, that are going to make you a better performer, a better MC, and a better leader of events.
Yeah, there's some stuff in the Facebook chat. I agree, Ron, with you that it might not be as much jealousy as much as it is just uneducated, an uneducated decision that's being made. They don't have the facts. Again, they're basing it off of somebody else. But with what Sean said, you got to take the risk sometime. You can't knock it until you've at least tried it. It's like when you're feeding your kids something new and they're like, I don't like that. Well, you've never had this before. I don't care. I don't like it. Well, you got to try it. And you try it, and then they eat half of it, and they're like, I really, really don't like this. Okay, well, you tried it. I appreciate you trying it. If you don't want to eat any more of it, if it's, you know, something that's not that healthy for them, then not a problem. It's all good. But at least you tried it. And if you're gonna start knocking stuff before you try it, then it goes back to that respect element. There's just no respect that you're going to get from me for just saying, it's not worth it. It's not advantageous. It's not prudent or whatever other adjective you want to throw in there. Those are adjectives, right?
Kind of.
I teach math.
Okay.
What? I like puppies and kitties.
And all right. Oh.
Okay. So that will wrap up our show for tonight. Thank you guys for being with us out on Facebook or out on YouTube. If you get a chance, please give us a thumbs up or, hey, as somebody did on the YouTube one, gave us a thumbs down. Remember from our lesson from Eric Winning, it doesn't matter if you give us a thumbs up or thumbs down. YouTube gives us the same amount of appreciation for any engagement. So
wait, who gave us a thumbs down? I'm like super intrigued by this now.
Probably Jimmy.
Oh, freaking Jimmy.
You know, the graphics guy, you know, they're always the edgy ones, the graphics guys.
That's a crappy move, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of crappy moves, if you're in the Indianapolis area and you know anything about septic systems, let me know because we're having an issue with ours.
Uh-oh.
Just throwing that out there right now. If you know anything whatsoever.
We'll talk off air because I just had to do some reworking with a lift station here on ours. So,
ooh,
yeah,
I'll probably pick your brain.
Yeah, we'll talk off air because talking sewage systems and lift stations and lift pumps isn't the most exciting thing for a YouTube video. Although, if you are having an issue with your lift station, this could be an exciting conversation.
That's for your other YouTube station.
That is actually, I did shoot that video with the Weekend Handyman. We did that, and it's just there's so many fragments to it because it was an 8-hour project, so that means that I have all of the footage that we have to go through and trim. All right, well, thank you guys for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow with our Tuesday shows. We've got to kick it off with Deets Beats and Dancing Feet with Tom Heath tomorrow. Then we have, is it Rob Frey in the evening? And I don't remember. And then Ben and Brian tomorrow night. And then, of course, next week we're in Vegas, so the schedule is going to be upside down. We'll be doing live shows and different things from Vegas. So you guys get to see all those. Just to go and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you'll be able to follow whatever we do. Everyone, have yourself a great evening. Good night, all.
See you.